All right, our next category, pro wrestling monster bad guy. This was very interesting. The underdog babyface, if you will, within the category that I voted for almost pulled off the win. This was almost the equivalent of a Barry Horowitz upset back in the day here, but mine got shot down in the end. All right, here's what we had. One vote for Mankind, one vote for you, Jason, from Shane McMahon as monster bad guy?
All right, let's back up a second. Clearly, the men in the room at the moment have forgotten in one day more pro wrestling history than I've accumulated over my entire life. Okay? Just the stuff that you forget it to John. You guys have already trounced me. So
that's been really useful to our lives.
I didn't want to be the guy that says, you know, Undertaker or Kane or some other D-bag that I can't remember never liking. So I in turn decided to pull that card and hope that it could be stretched into believing that Shane was a monster bad guy.
Even though
there really was no supernatural or any sort of background to it.
That means that you're going to hear about a dozen of these that you're going to like better than the one you made in the
absolutely.
End. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. One vote collectively here. The Scout Ken Beck's voting collectively for the Powers of Pain. I knew you'd like that, Kyle.
Yeah.
One vote for Chris Jericho.
I would disqualify that one as not qualified. That's not a monster bad guy.
What? Here's a monster bad guy, but best. One vote for Papa Shango.
Yeah, the crickets.
One vote. And by the way, this just goes to show, I count all of these regardless. My friend Tony Holtkamp decided she was going to cast a vote for Rick Morris. The funny thing is, true story, I actually participated back in the day because I was the only guy in this clique of guys who owned a tux. I actually I ring announced a National Guard Armory indie show back in 96. And I participated in an angle at ringside with Ronnie Diceman Vegas.
What, was Jake Digman unavailable? Or, I mean, what was going on there?
I was using the mic. I was getting the crowd to chant Greaseball at Ronnie Diceman Vegas. He chased me around the ring. Yeah, but I was playing the face. Tony was not aware that I was the face in that situation, not a monster heel.
Wasn't exactly Christmas night 1982 in the Sportatorium, okay?
No. My dad, who was at the show, said he could smell the fear off of me well back from ringside. One vote for Yokozuna. One vote for The Big Show. One vote for, and particularly if you're going to count him from the era when he was known as Big Van Vader, then I can agree with that. Big Van Vader certainly deserved to get a vote. One vote for Ministry Era Undertaker, which I'm separating from the other Undertaker votes here.
Okay.
One vote for The Great Kabuki. One vote for Killer Khan. The funny thing is, I thought at first the other Killer Kabuki vote was supposed to be for Killer Khan because they said the guy that Mr. Fuji managed to blew the green mist. And I'm thinking, okay, Killer Khan. And then they said on the next ballot, they sent me another email, I think that was a Great Kabuki. So I'm going to count it that way. Whatever. One for Khan, one for Kabuki. Two votes for Hulk Hogan. Two votes for King Kong Bundy.
I knew he would do well. Hulk Hogan shouldn't qualify either.
He shouldn't? Okay.
Not as a monster bad guy. That's not what I think.
NWO, Hollywood Hogan era?
I don't think that's a monster bad guy. That's a chicken bad guy.
Okay. Two votes for Andre the Giant.
Who I voted for, surprisingly, despite the hideous work rate of the era. I just thought, to me, that's the epitome of a monster. But just that, you know, I mean, that sit-down butt splash, it was very scary. Just as Bad News Brown.
Exactly.
Hey, if I may interject, there was some good warm and fuzzies there to hear the phrase work rate.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in a while.
That stirs a lot of great memories here. Let me do my best, watered-down babyface Piper's Pit imitation. You're bleeding. You're bleeding. Let's get you some help.
That was outstanding.
That was.
I'm the only one who knows what the heck you're referencing, by the way, right now. That's outstanding.
You probably are. Two votes for Mr. McMahon.
I don't think that should count either.
Okay.
But then again, I'm a real snob. This is like the one category. I'm the real snob, the real hipster.
Let me ask you if this next one should count. Three votes for Roddy Piper. Does he count as a monster bad guy?
No.
I didn't think so either. Okay.
If we're talking just straight bad guy, it would count. He would be a great choice. But no, I specifically didn't vote for people like Mr. McMahon and Roddy Piper because, I was playing by the rules.
Well, Mr. McMahon was the higher power, so. It was me all along, Austin. Three votes for mine. I couldn't believe he got even a second vote. But I'm biased. I ate at his place down in Atlanta. I love that place. I got to meet him and get my picture shaken, picture taken, hands shaken with him. By the way, yes, you can fit a quarter in those grooves in his forehead. Abdullah the Butcher. I had me some fine food at Abdullah the Butcher's house of barbecue and Chinese food.
Good pick. That's a good pick.
It was, and I got a picture just to show you what a smart mark I am. I had another picture of me taken outside, squatting and pointing to the sky, Cebu style. Does that make me a mark?
I think that's the very definition of, yes.
Yes. By the way, at that place, and again, not in the best of neighborhoods in the ATL. It's all I can do to get my brother to drive me down there when I go to visit him. But we went the one time. Not in a great neighborhood. But anyways, we're down there, and there was a couple of elderly ladies sitting at this one table when Abdullah actually walked in. We, you know, it's kind of luck of the draw if you catch him there. One of the elderly ladies, this elderly black lady, he comes in. She goes, "Mr. the Butcher, Mr. the Butcher." Like, that is classic. It's a great moment. At the winner, four votes, surpassing my choice here. He got actually two of the last six votes cast to come from behind the Undertaker. You're a winner for Best Monster Bad Guy.
Yeah, that's to be honest, that's not a surprise. I didn't, to me... And once again, I'm snobby in this character. I probably know too much for my own good. Mm-hmm. I just don't think of him just as... Well, the same could be said of my pick, Andre the Giant. You don't. I mean, you go back and forth. It's a fine winner. That's fine. I have no problem with that. I have no issue with that.
Is there a guy from Dragon Gate or Evolve that you would have voted for?
No, not at all. Nice. No, that's outstanding, though.
Thank you.
I have no problem.
Thank you. The Undertaker, thoughts on that, Jason?
Well, I think that's a chalk pick, especially if we assume... The sample size we're voting from, not everyone's as well-versed, as I said previously, the gentleman in the room.
Yeah, and as I was joking when you said that, a lot of useful good that knowledge has done us over the years. That's been some tangible good, to be sure. So the Undertaker, we lift the Dundee Award, our first non-sports inductee for here tonight into the Pantheon. The Undertaker. Next one.
And Vince McMahon will make sure that's a non-sports. You know, the first independent contractor, I believe, to win as well.
Thank you, Richard Blumenthal.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
Best movie franchise, original, and sequels. We got a nice variety on this sucker. This is great here. One vote for Lord of the Rings. One vote for the New Jersey Chronicles, the first six Kevin Smith films. One vote for Star Trek. One for Ocean's 11 and 12. That was yours, I think, Roy. Wasn't it, Jason?
Actually, what's that?
Actually, let me scroll up to see. Was that
yours? Mine was Star Trek.
Oh, yours, I'm sorry. Yeah, yours was Star Trek. Okay.
That's good because I was about to make fun of the Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12.
Actually, that was my best friend, so go ahead and tee off on
him. Okay, but it just, come on. Compared to what, I mean, compared to even just what you've mentioned previously, it just doesn't. I mean, who thinks of that?
Okay,
really?
Ocean's 11 and 12.
I don't mind those movies. It just doesn't compare as a franchise.
Okay. One vote for the Bourne movies. One for Indiana Jones.
That's a good pick.
One for Back to the Future. One for the George A. Romero zombie films. That was from Jake Digman, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, you're telling me.
One vote for Die Hard. One for Spider-Man. One for Batman.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Spider-Man?
Yeah, Spider-Man.
As probably what I would consider the residential comic book degenerate, that's not okay.
Okay.
That's really not. I mean, that's like saying the entire Rocky series was phenomenal, and accepting that Rocky V is part of it. Spider-Man 3 may be one of the top 10 biggest travesties in big budget cinema ever, and the entire franchise is just sort of a slappy, you know, retarded kid version of the actual series from the comic books. Even as a comic book movie fan, you've got to be insulted by that one. But go ahead.
Disabilities groups, please direct hate mail to Jay Jones, Denver, Colorado.
It's interesting what Jason just said about franchises that maybe one of the movies is really bad or significantly worse than the others. Because with my pick, I know, and a pick that probably carried a lot of weight, that was certainly the case. But I think you have to ask yourself, does the one bad one really outweigh all the good from the other ones? Like Indiana Jones, for instance, kind of two of the three are really good, but Temple of Doom is, you know, it's generally pretty reviewed as pretty bad, and that's the weak link. And I think it's hard for any franchise with three or more movies. You know, Rocky's a very good franchise, but
right.
it doesn't win because, like Jason said, you know, number five is just so bad that, like, it kind of weighs it down. But the one I voted for, one of the three, you know, one-third of it is pretty terrible.
You voted for the second place one. It had three votes. We're working our way up to that. Those are all the ones with one vote thus far. Two votes for Rocky, two for Harry Potter, two for James Bond, two for the one I voted for, Austin Powers. I love me some Austin Powers. Two for... I'm getting a quizzical look from you, Kyle Ross.
Come on. You talk... That third one was horrible. I mean, horrible.
Any movie with Beyonce Knowles automatically should be nixed from the process.
And why does he still do, like, those cameos as Austin Powers in music videos? I was at Bally's the other day, and, like, he was in some Britney Spears video doing, like, some of the same routines. I'm like, what are you doing?
Wow. Well... That character these days is about as relevant as Britney Spears, so I
yes,
guess
yes.
It all ties together. Two for Dirty Harry, which you got to love. All right, three for the one that you voted for, Kyle. This is our second place one, The Godfather.
Yeah, and this is three's bad, obviously, but one and two so greatly outweigh it that's why. Well, I mean, one and two are two of the top five movies ever that I've ever seen. So when you're that when two-thirds of the franchise is that good, it can outweigh the one bad one.
By the way, I'm the only guy in the world, and I can say this without consulting anybody or looking anything up. I saw Godfather 3 before the other two, and I also saw Caddyshack 2 before the original. Yeah, I'm that guy.
Yeah. You would have voted for Ronald Reagan in 1980, too.
So, yeah. Do. Yeah. Seven votes for the winner. Unsurprisingly, this would have, Jason, you talked about chalk with The Undertaker. You know, Chalky Chalkerson saw this one coming. Star Wars, your winner with seven votes into the Pantheon for the best movie franchise of all time.
And, you know, the funny part about that is the true Star Wars fans. And I'm pretty sure that there's another gentleman in the room that would like to comment on this. May or may not have a huge problem with judging the entire franchise as a whole and not New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi being separate from Episodes 1, 2, and 3. Now, I still enjoy all six of them, but there's clearly a disconnect between the gap of time that was left between the first three and the second three, however you want to look at that. And in some cases, you know, you're looking at Episode 1 was completely a setup. Episode 1 had to be made to explain a whole bunch of backstory. Episode 2 is like, ooh, I'm an emo little teenager who's in love with someone I can't be in love with. Boo-hoo for me. And then Episode 3 was sick, you know, pretty badass. But that one as a whole, if we're judging as a whole, with the Godfather angle, the Indiana Jones angle, and so on, I don't know that it would rank as high. So I hope that most of those people are separating them. I would agree with Kyle, though. Like, the weak link angle is only a problem if the remaining links don't carry the weight. So in the Indiana Jones and the Godfather, I do think that the better two carry their weight. The thing with stuff like Spider-Man or even Bourne Identity to some degree.
Right.
Are the good ones really that good?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because I think the bad ones make you reevaluate how unimpressive the first few were.
Well, be that as it may, yeah, Star Wars wins, so we hoist the Dundee and induct Star Wars as the best movie franchise of all time. This one's great here, too. Innovative TV series. With this one and the next one, the songs, these are all over the place here. God bless.
I was at a loss on this one.
The members of the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences outdid themselves, particularly on these next two categories. These are awesome. One vote for The West Wing. One vote. One vote for Chuck. By the way, we had some split ballots here.
I know you didn't vote.
Did I change my vote on principle?
No.
I know you didn't vote for West Wing with Martin Sheen as president, by the way.
Thank you. I didn't.
No. Hey, just for the record, I'd like to state that The West Wing, to me, is my favorite show of all time, bar none.
Well, it wouldn't have won anyway, so don't worry about it. Walk it off. One vote for West Wing. One vote for Chuck. One vote for Fringe.
Chuck.
Yeah. John Adams, one of our dignitaries, is a big Chuck mark. One for Fringe. One for Spartacus. One for Bones. one for Cosby, one for Burn Notice, Russ Cohen. I love that show. Great vote, Russ. One vote for 6 Feet Under. That was yours, Kyle.
Yeah, you know, for me, I struggled because Jason just said something interesting where that's my favorite show ever. I didn't, to me, once again, with the monster bad guy, I took this as a very literal definition. I didn't vote for my favorite show. I don't think the shows I like the most are particularly that innovative. They're just very good. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
Like, the shows that I watch, you know, Mad Men isn't necessarily an innovative TV show. It's just very good.
Yeah, it kind of is, though, really.
Okay, well, in that case, I want to change my vote now, too.
Yeah, nobody actually voted for Mad Men. That's kind of interesting, of all the ones you might have thought. Nor did anybody vote for Breaking Bad. One vote for Laugh-In', one for The Sopranos, one for Ice Road Truckers, one for Modern Family, one for The Simpsons, one for Lost, one for Weeds, one for Curb Your Enthusiasm. Bob Glassman voted for that one. That was a great one. One for MASH. One for Family Guy, one for Smallville. I just love that these last two, though. The last ones that have one vote apiece, only our Academy could bridge this gap. One for Glee and one for Sons of Anarchy. Ladies and gentlemen, your FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences. The ones with 1.5 votes, 1.5 for Seinfeld and 1.5 for the one that I cast a vote for, The Office. So that NBC's The Office, by the way, for those. You are second.
Half.
Yeah, somebody split a ballot. We had a ballot split actually between Seinfeld and The Office, so we credited those on there. 3 votes for All in the Family, your second place finisher, and 4 votes for your winner, 24. That was something you found interesting, Kyle, when I told you off air.
Well, you know, I thought it was going to be the winner. Yeah, I did think it was. I wasn't the biggest honk for that show though, so that's why I didn't vote for it, because I just didn't particularly care for it. It wasn't must-see TV for me, but I'm not surprised. That's kind of a, you know, Chalk Chalkerson kind of win, too.
Okay.
I'm not surprised.
Jason, your thoughts on that?
You know, I tried to watch that series like 3 times and could never get past the first episode.
Okay.
So I don't get it, but I don't know. Things like All in the Family, some of the older ones, I find to be as lacking in innovation as possible, but Who knows? Maybe they're the cornerstone for modern television, but it is what it is.
Well, 24 is your winner, so we hoist the Dundee and induct 24 as the best innovative TV series of all time. All right, we'll do song before we go to break. Talk about ending this segment on a high note. Holy crap, this one here, song. Once again, God bless the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences. All of these ones here. Now, not all of these are great songs, to be sure, but taken as a whole, the range is nothing short of impressive. This first one here. Joe Stazak, by the way, and I love Joe Stazak, great Philadelphia area sportscaster. Semi-Charmed Life, Third Eye Blind. We are not starting on a high note here.
No. I mean, that's about as vanilla and...
Vanilla. I hate it. I'll go further than that.
Yeah, I mean,
I freaking hate it. I just, that song makes me want to shoot myself.
My God.
Shoot other people. There's another one that makes me want to shoot myself. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
Yeah, we're starting with Third Eye Blind. It does get better from there.
I would hope so.
Okay. Yes. Anything by the Plain White Tees. Here's a real hipster one coming up here. This next one's a hipster one. Standing outside a broken phone booth with money in my hand from a primitive radio gods. Yeah, that is. One for
is Sponge coming up next? Yes.
No, Don't You Forget About Me, Simple Minds.
That's just an awful pick.
All right, one for Roadhouse Blues by the Doors.
It's not bad.
Okay. Jason voted for 7 by Eli Mattson. Jason, defend yourself.
Quite possibly, from a personal perspective, the greatest song I've ever heard in my life.
Okay.
And I could get profane if you'd like me to verbally defend myself.
Okay.
But anybody that's in this particular business where you struggle often to find your way, get fired or lose a job due to the fact that management can't keep a radio station running, anything like that, and have a spouse that has to deal with that stuff on a daily basis, in the right situation, in the right frame of mind, that song has the ability to bring a grown man to tears every single time.
Okay.
So you may not like it. It may be a little too lovey-dovey for some people, but that song is effing brilliant.
Well, Jason, with that explanation, you made chicken salad out of chicken S there. You did defend it very well. Congratulations. the next one here, the Scout, bringing us this one here. The Scout, Ken Bex, who, by the way, you can hear the debut of his program here tomorrow night as he's breaking down all things first down scouting on the Sports Talk Network, voting for Flashlight by Parliament, bringing that to it. So a little diversity to the content here. Russ Cohen bringing us Roundabout by Yes. He's a big
There's
classic,
always some
dude.
Yes fan. You can never get away from these people. By the way, in harder times than I've had, there was a radio station that I was privy to. They played an abnormal amount of Yes.
Okay.
It was out of Youngstown, too, if you pick up where I was. All right, so yeah.
To quote a great man, I'm picking up what you're putting
okay,
down.
Okay, all right, there you go. Yeah, Yes isn't bad, but I mean, come on.
Here's one that, although you and I went to OU at different times, dare I say different eras, I can promise you that we both heard this one endlessly on the jukebox for 4 years. American Pie, Don McLean.
Yeah, come on.
One for Walk This Way, the Aerosmith version. Here's a hipster one. This is an instrumental one. Every Day by Carly Commando. I had to play it on YouTube. I'd never heard it before. Much like I'd never heard Jason's one before either.
But, yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's another. I've never heard of it either.
Every Day by Carly Commando. One for Unforgettable, the Nat and Natalie King Cole version. One for Imagine, John Lennon.
It's not a bad pick.
This next one, although I loves me some rock out, I hadn't heard of this one specifically. Stealer by Judas Priest.
Judas Priest?
Yeah. There was that one. One vote for Born to Run, Bruce Springsteen.
That's a good pick. Good, solid pick.
One vote for Satisfaction, Rolling Stones.
I think that might be one. That and Start Me Up, I think, are two of their weakest songs.
That's an interesting one. This next one's even more interesting. I single out some of the voters on some of the more interesting ones. Tim Faust, original Lounge Dignitary, voting for The Star-Spangled Banner by Francis Scott Key.
Come on. That's just lazy.
You didn't see with the peripheral vision Paul with a big thumbs down.
Okay.
There. Yeah.
One for, because it's a patriotic song.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
No less.
Yeah. Okay.
One vote for, how about this for the cliche pick? One vote for Piano Man, Billy Joel.
I like that better than American Pie.
All right.
As far as the cliched songs go.
I love this next one here. Any neck from Parma, especially an 80s neck from Parma, is going to love this. Hold On Loosely, 38 Special. Gotta love the Special, bro. Gotta give it up for the Special.
Yeah.
You're not sympathetic to the whole 80s Parma neck thing. Okay.
No,
all right.
And I like 80s music, but come on.
Okay.
Poor man's Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Well, it's kind of, in some ways, a quasi spinoff, some common members.
Yeah.
And I love Skynyrd, too. I love Skynyrd as much, if not more, than 38 Special. Two Metallica votes coming up here, one for Master of Puppets and one for Fade to Black.
I like both the songs. I mean, I don't think they're the best Metallica song, but I mean, they're good songs.
One vote, Nate Noy voted for Take On Me by A-ha. And as I've told this to people, it's been unanimous. Everybody's been like, he did know that was best song, not best video, right? One vote, I said before, there's a song that makes me want to commit homicide and one song that makes me want to commit suicide. The one that makes me want to commit suicide, Salisbury Hill, Peter Gabriel.
I don't hate that song.
Picture, if you have the most depressing song of all time. Picture, if you will, okay?
Oh, there's far more
this
depressing
happened, this
songs.
This happened to me years ago. I had a very sick relative that was in the hospital. I want to go out there. I'm going to watch a Sunday night football game with the fellas. I go out there, and they're playing the jukebox, whatever. You should be shot for playing the jukebox when there's a Sunday night game on, but whatever.
That's bad. That's a hipster move right
Some
there.
Some a-hole played that song twice. It's like, you know what? I'm trying to get away from my problems for a night. And you're just determined to make me want to shove something into my veins right now. You know, it just...
There's nothing worse than the repeat on the jukebox.
Yeah.
So it's a personal story. I don't think... It's not a horrible... But I mean, it's the best song ever.
It's always been depressing to me. Isn't this one of the 5 most depressing songs in the history of, like, any genre of music?
No.
Oh, my God.
No. I could name more depressing songs. I could name 50 more depressing songs.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to get to that on a subsequent segment. Two Van Halen votes. One vote for Jump. One vote for Dance the Night Away.
Once again, I don't like either. Like, as far as Van Halen songs go, I don't like either of those two, really,
okay.
That much.
One vote. Simon Applebaum, our friend from New York, voted for Fernando by Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I'm at a moment here where I'm expecting to hear a certain name that I'm not hearing just based on the occasion of the day. I'm a little upset.
I'm working my way up here.
That may be the worst pick yet, by the way, the Lady Gaga one.
Okay. One vote for Shimmer by Fuel.
To me, that's no different than Third Eye Blind.
You're underwhelmed by most of these, aren't you?
Yeah, there have been about, I'll be honest with you, there's been about six songs that I actually liked.
You're going to say six after the next two I give you. Okay, you're not going to include them. Samantha Jones, our entertainment editor, like Jason and I, huge Linkin Park marks. She voted for Faint by Linkin Park. I voted for Paper Cut by Linkin Park.
Edge always needs a new theme song.
Oh, yeah. And three votes. I was convinced we'd have a tie in this category, but we don't. Three votes for Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. And if you would have told me something was going to have more than one vote, I would have called it as this one. Kind of a cliche. You actually voted for this one here, did you not, Kyle? You were one
of
the three?
I did. Wow, I'm doing real well with these winners here. To me, it's just I don't know. I took it seriously. I guess I didn't make it personal. Is it my personal favorite? But to me, it's just the classic rock song.
Okay.
Great build. The definitive song from one of the definitive bands. It might be a little cliche. Freebird, is cliche too. But, I just love a song with a great build, a good epic song. And to me, I don't know, man. When that thing gets going at the end, when we walk on down the road, I get going, man.
Who among us hasn't played air guitar to this in the shower? Come on.
Exactly.
So three votes for that. You voted for it. Actually, Chris Galloway, who's voted, had some of our more far-out votes for tonight, he joined you in this one, as did Jake Digman. Jennings joined you in voting for Stairway to Heaven.
Well, it's nice to see that Jake and I can come back together after so many years. Yes.
Exactly.
Jennings, Norman, Digman.
Yes. Yes, indeed. He'll probably be sitting in on some segments here with us going forward. That'll be fun, reuniting with him.
Yes.
So we lift the Dundee Award. Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin, your best song of all time. I'll tell you what, we can hit one more before break because this next one's going to be fairly perfunctory. The best continent of all time. We always like to do something geography related, and this one is no different. So we have, for this one here, two votes for Antarctica, five votes for Australia, seven votes for Europe, and 18 votes for the winner. And this one here. And our first Pantheon within the Pantheon winner here tonight, with over 50% of the votes, North America. Kyle, you were not one of the ones that did in this one here.
No, I didn't, solely to irritate you. I wanted to vote for the liberal continent.
You voted for Europe. Yeah, so did you, Jason.
Yeah, and as I wrote in a note to you along with it, kind of like the movie deal, the United States is effing awesome. But they're being dragged down by the irresponsibility of nations like Canada and Mexico.
I agree.
Like it or not.
I agree. And I wanted to vote for Australia. I'm a big Australia mark, but I've never been there. I don't know enough about it. And I don't think there's enough that offsets everything we have in North America. 18 votes. So that's our first one tonight. We lift the Dundee Award. 18 votes for North America for best continent.